Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I want to invite you to turn with me this morning to Mark chapter 5. This chapter begins with the story of a man who was a Gadarene, who was possessed with devils. I'm sure you're familiar with this story. It's one of the favorite accounts for many believers. And I believe it's a favorite because most believers can relate to this man so much. Sinners naturally have no idea how vile they are until God reveals it to them. And believers know this clearly. The Lord reveals how vile they are. They see it. And once they see what they are, not just what they've done, what they are, once they see what's on the inside, they've seen what's on the outside. We know what we've done on the outside. But once they see what's on the inside, and once they see the mighty work of Christ in them, once they realize that He sat me down, He clothed me, and He put me in my right mind, just like this Gadarene. There was a way that seemed right to me before. I thought I knew the way of life. I thought I knew the way to God, but I was wrong. I was wrong. God was not who I thought He was. I was not who I thought I was. Salvation was not in anything I do like I thought it was. It wasn't in any decision I make like I thought it was. The Lord shows a sinner, I had a wrong mind. A wrong mind. I was wrong on what happened to mankind in the garden, in the fall. I was wrong on it all. But once God performs His work in a sinner, and once that sinner sees the way, once he sees the truth and the life, which is Christ Himself, once he sees grace, once he sees complete redemption, once he understands the absolute freedom from sin, the freedom that Christ secured for him, he starts running to tell everybody he can find how great things the Lord has done for him. That woman at the well, she left her water pot. She went running into town crying, "Come see a man." Isn't that what she did? Come see a man. And that's what this Gadarene did. Look with me here in Mark chapter 5 at verse 19. It says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel." They marveled. Now, as I was thinking about him doing this, can you picture him going home, going to his friends, telling them how great things the Lord has done for him? Can you see that? His excitement, his relief, his thankfulness. As I was thinking about him doing this, the thought went through my mind, I wonder what he said. The Lord said, "You go tell." I wonder what he told. Where did he start? I believe I know. I believe he started at the beginning. That's where we start, isn't it? Every time we declare the good news of grace, what God did for me, we acknowledge our sin, don't we? Not because that's the first point in our outline. It's because that's where Christ found us. That's where He found me, dead in and captive to sin. He came to me where I was. Look right here in verse 1, Mark 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Our Lord told His disciples, let's pass over unto the other side of the sea. And they entered a great storm along the way. Now, why did our Lord say that to them? Why did He tell them to cross over this ocean and go through this storm? The reason is because there was one sinner on the other side that He purposed to save. And just like our Lord said they would, and just like He accomplishes everything He purposes to do, verse 1 says they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Verse 2 says, and when He was come out of the ship, immediately there met Him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, was this a chance meeting? He gets out of the ship and there just so happens to be a man standing there with an unclean spirit. Was that a chance meeting? That Gadarene might have thought so. The truth, though, is he was appointed to be in that place at that time from the foundation of the world. God in mercy made an appointment with a sinner. Verse 2 says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived in the tombs. He lived around these different tombs. I thought about the stench. The stench that was not only on him, but the stench that was in him as he breathed. Can you imagine all the stench that had filled his lungs? Can you imagine what he smelled like? You know, that's what our sin is to God. It doesn't seem to bother us. We can't even really smell it. But it's an awful stench in his nostrils. Verse 3 says, this man had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He couldn't be bound. The reason is because he was bound. He couldn't be bound by fetters and chains because he was bound by the fetters of sin and the chains of sin. And that caused him to break and run from everything that was good and right. When it came to this man, the law could only be broken. They tried to put the law on him, and every time it was broken, every single time. Verse 5 says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. That's us. That's this flesh. He wasn't seeking Christ. He was not seeking help. He was not sitting at the feet of Christ begging for forgiveness and mercy. Somebody would ask, where is he? Where is he? I don't know. I don't know. He's up in the mountains. He's around the tomb somewhere. Everywhere but where Christ is. Christ had to come to him. Christ had to come to him where he was, right there in his misery. Verse 5 says, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying. Crying. Living in the clutches and the captivity of sin is absolute misery. It's absolute misery. This man was not happy. This man was miserable in his sin. Verse 5 says he was cutting himself with stones. He's marking himself up, just sticking himself, stabbing himself, piercing himself, mutilating the flesh God gave him. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. He ran and worshiped him. Now, let me tell you this. At this moment in time, he's not sitting and clothed and in his right mind. He's still completely possessed by the evil of sin. But he's religious. He is religious. He knows you're supposed to worship Jesus. He goes to church every now and then. Can a man who is possessed with an evil spirit be a faithful churchgoer? Can a man who's possessed with an evil spirit be a faithful churchgoer? Not only can he be a faithful churchgoer, he can be the pastor of the church. Lying to men and women, ushering those poor souls straight into the depths of hell itself. All in the name of worshiping Jesus. They can do it all in the name of worshiping Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11 tells us that. This is verses 13 to 15. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So, absolutely. A man can sit there possessed by the evil of the devil and worship Jesus, as they say. This man sat and worshiped him. And verse 7 says in Mark 5, he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. This unclean spirit knows who God is. Here he is sitting, worshiping the Lord, and he knows who God is. He won't bow. The unclean spirit will not bow, but he knows who God is. He said, please don't torment me. Verse 9, and he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. In the Roman military, a legion is 6,000 infantry. 6,000. He said, there are 6,000 of us in here. And I'll just go ahead and tell us all that these unclean spirits represent this man's sins. He's just full of them. He was sin, and he committed sin. His sin was great. Verse 9, he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. Now notice this. They had to get permission. They can only do what he allows them to do. Verse 13, forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a deep place down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. That tells us truly how many unclean spirits were in this man. At least 2,000. There were 2,000 swine. So at least one per swine. You talk about bound. Bound. I've never seen a man so bound by sin. Did you know that's why Christ chose him? He came to save the worst. The chief. He came to set the deepest, darkest prisoner free. And if he set us free, then this is describing us. Verse 14, "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine." Now, reading Luke's account caused me to see something. Turn with me over to Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, verse 36, it says, "They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed." By what means? In this account, our Lord mentions these swine. He cast evil spirits out of people all the time, didn't he? And they were just gone. But in this account, he tells us by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. And I want to be so careful right now. I want to be so fearful and reverent in this. But if you'll follow me to a couple of scriptures, I strongly want to encourage you to grab a Bible with me and follow me to a couple of scriptures. I believe we will see the means by which every single one of us was healed. Every single one of us. First, go with me over to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. In Psalm 22, verse 1 says, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" That's what he said at the cross. Verse 18 says, "They parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." This is him speaking from the cross. All right, now look at verse 6. He said, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people." He said, "I'm a worm and no man." Why would our Lord say that? Sometimes our Bibles have center margins in them, and mine has one. And next to a worm, it says Isaiah 41, verse 14. Look with me at Isaiah 41, and let's read verse 14. It says, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." He said that from the cross, being the substitute for his worms. He said, "I am what they are." He who knew no sin made himself to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. see if you can find Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations 3. This, again, is our Lord speaking. In Lamentations 3, verse 1, he said, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. I suffered the rod of God the Father's wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about. I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also, when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces, and hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people, and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Humbled in me. Our Lord took our sin upon himself. He took it into his own body, and then he willingly ran violently down a steep place into the sea of God's wrath. And he died. He died. It was the only means that would heal us. And as soon as he did that, we were set free. We quit running to sin. We quit running from God, and we sat down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Right here in Lamentations 3, verse 21 says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. This right here is the right mind that God gives to a saved sinner. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. That's a right mind. I'm not consumed just because of the Lord's mercies. That's the only reason. Verse 22 says, because his compassions fail not. That's a right mind. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That's a right mind. Our Lord used swine to portray this. Isaiah 53 said the Savior would have no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. But let me ask you this. What do you think those swine meant to that Gadarene? They were his substitute. He sat there clothed, thinking about the fact that Christ provided him a substitute. That evil killed my substitute instead of me. Instead of me. Back in our text in Mark chapter 5, verse 14 says, "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid." Now, Luke's account says that this man wear no clothes. That's what it says about him specifically. He wear no clothes. He had no clothes. Didn't even have any. There were no clothes anywhere around there. He didn't just have a robe that he could pick up and put on. So where did he get one? Christ gave him his. Christ took his own robe off and gave it to him. That's what he did for you and me. He clothed us with his own robe, the robe of his righteousness. Verse 16 says, "And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine." And you know, you'd think they'd be praising God, giving Christ the glory. But verse 17 says, "They began to pray him to depart out of their coast." You know, our Lord has to make a sinner willing, doesn't he? He has to make a sinner willing. Verse 18, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." Oh, Lord, let me just be with you. That's what we want, isn't it? Let me just be with you. We long to be with him. But the Lord said, "I have a commission for you first." Verse 19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." You go tell them how the Lord has had compassion on you. You go tell them how the Lord has loved you. That's what he said. He ran and told his family. He told his friends, "Oh, he loved me. He helped me. He did for me what I could not do for myself." Verse 20, "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." And by God's grace, that's what we'll do, isn't it? For the rest of our commission here, the rest of our time on this earth, we'll just publish to men and women how great things the Lord has done for us. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless His Word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message, or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.